out the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. We are here thanks to Plymouth Rock Assurance, Planet Fitness, the sponsor of this hour. And Rich, there is a new Tom versus Time.
I have to be honest, there's six total, and we've now seen two. The second one released yesterday afternoon, and I'm shocked. I thought this was going to be nothing but an infomercial. And Fred, I know you and I keep saying it's going to turn into that for the TB12 method. But as much as we joked about, you know, who Tom Brady is and how he's become extremely weird over the past several years, and it seemed anytime he tried to do anything like a normal human being, it would backfire, whether he was trying to dance at the carnival with his wife or go down a water slide, or even the TB times just ended up being really freaking strange with that dumb alligator. But this is the first time, and we're two episodes in now, where he's doing an excellent job looking like a normal human being. Where if his goal with this whole documentary was to humanize who he was, it's working. And maybe that's a testament to the guys that he hired, whoever this Deepak Chopra guy is, and the rest of the crew. And maybe that's not really him, and this is all just a sales job. But it's working, because there's a lot of stuff in it where you either see a little bit of yourself as a human being, the disappointment, the revenge factor, but then there's also part of it where you get to see somebody who is truly a maniac about his sport. And that's what you want. Isn't that kind of what you want in an athlete? Like, your ideal athlete is somebody who eats, sleeps, breathes, and wants to win constantly. And it's fascinating, the behind the scenes. Now, in the first episode, we got to see Alex Guerrero just jam on that leg and watch it just flip out all over the place, giving us a very creepy-sounding soundbite. But in this one, this was about the mental challenges that he apparently goes through. And the one thing we did learn is that he likes to talk a little nasty. Old Tom Brady likes to, you know, get a little sexy when he speaks.
Oh,
tell. Another thing, speaking of sexy, Julian Edelman, just in everything he's in, refuses to put a shirt on. Refuses to put a shirt on.
Well, listen, if you're a beefcake, I mean, what are you going to do?
Okay, yep. That thing that, you know, when, remember, it was like, we're two bros going to Mexico, and it was him and Danny Amendola. Like, within 2 minutes, he had his shirt off. And like, even Danny Amendola was like, he always takes his shirt off. At some point, you're just like, dude, there's no reason for you to do that. So it's got a video. It starts at the beginning of it, of this episode, where Tom Brady is working with a quarterback's coach, and he's like giving
Tom
him...
Tom House.
It's Tom House, that's right. And he's giving him all these different examples about if you just take your elbow out like a half inch before you throw, it's going to give you torque, is where you didn't have torque before, and it's got Tom Brady getting frustrated, and he's launching, you know, these passes to Julian Edelman. And then they start comparing what he's doing to something very strange. All right, Dan, play the clip.
And I don't think too much.
So I was right in between what I was trying to do and what I've been doing.
And you know what taint is? You don't want to be taint. You either ass or but nothing in between.
Yeah. So I was right in between.
Okay, let's go on.
Now you realize this is like nothing, but it's bigger to him.
So you're going to like this throw, because I'm starting to get that feel right now.
I find it. Now that should have felt awesome. You had some friggin' into there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, bro, it's not perfect.
You were not leaving until you feel it.
Nope.
That combination of his expectation level, his capacity to meet those expectations is huge. That had touch.
Yeah, perfect.
You got that look on your face.
No, I just had a mild orgasm. We had a major f***ing breakthrough.
Okay, you can say it any way you like.
Okay, so what is good? We start off talking.
Do we have any of the clips of Guerrero working on him from before? I mean, this thing is getting really... All right, that's weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
This is weird.
You guys, all right, so what he says...
His dead voice, too, is like...
He goes, you see, what you got there is it's taint. You know, because it's not your blank and it's not your butt. Yeah, I mean, taint means it's the thing that's not your butt and it's not your wiener. Then, yes. Of course, that's what the term that they're using. Don't be in between. You can't be taint.
It's
Guerrero.
There's a lot
Guerrero's
of
Guerrero's talking taint there.
There's a lot of things.
It's a lot of sexy.
If you didn't know that, well, if you had no visual of this,
right,
that you would assume you were watching something like Friday After Dark or whatever it was on Cinemax.
Friday After Dark. There it is. Is that what they called it? Friday After Dark?
Oh yeah. Okay. Right after dark.
Was that when they would play Black Emmanuel?
Black Emmanuel.
Oh, don't
Emmanuel
sleep
in space.
Don't sleep on that. All right. Sleep on that at all.
So okay, so let's go. Okay, back over. So let's once again listen to this. So they start with Taints.
By the way, Bird's got to be doing the phones because Joe, what he says here, I compare TB12 to Episode 2 to P. You guys, Rich and Fred.
All right. Thanks, Bird. It's Bird knees.
Bird's working hard over there. All right.
And then speaking of working hard.
No, I want to hear the clip with the quarterback coach.
All right, let's play the entire thing because it ends with Tom Brady compares completing a pass to, something so sexy.
And I don't think too much.
I was right in between what I was trying to do and what I've been doing.
And you know what taint is. You don't want to be taint. You either ass or but nothing in between.
Yeah, that was right in between.
Okay, let's go on.
Now you realize this is like nothing, but it's big to him.
So you're going to like this throw, because I'm starting to get that feel right now.
I find it. That should have felt awesome. You had some friggin' into there.
Bro, it's not perfect.
We're not leaving until you feel it.
That combination of his expectation level, his capacity to meet those expectations is huge.
That touch.
Yeah, perfect.
You got that look on your face.
Oh, I just had a mild orgasm. We had a major breakthrough.
Okay, you can say it any way you like. He thinks it's a major breakthrough, but it's for frog hairs.
That is the creepiest voice I've ever heard in my entire life.
I just imagine him lightly touching his arm and slowly moving it down. Like the annoying man.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Doug, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Doug?
Hey, I wanted to reference, because I heard it the other day when he was talking about the mild orgasm. I'm like, oh, it kind of reminds me from that documentary with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Pumping Iron.
Yeah, Pump says is what the caller's getting to, is that he's like,
the pump.
Lifting, the pump is like, having orgasms. I'm always having an orgasm all the time.
Very strange, very strange. Well, another thing that's very strange is we're 2-for-2 with Sarge. Let's hear it.
The Patriots are back in Foxborough again for the second straight week as they take on the Carolina Panthers.
Why Sarge?
The team's 2-1 entering this game.
Brady has already been hit 19 times. The last time Brady was hit that much through the first 3 weeks of a season was 2006.
This is going to test that whole Brady process and the Brady theory in your book. So good luck, fella.
Has literally everyone on the station been on Tom versus Time but us?
Yeah, I don't know if we've broken it down to the degree.
All I know is this is going to send Sarge into orbit
I'm making it a point of pride that they will not play us.
Yeah, I'm not.
Unless it's us analyzing Alex Guerrero's sound effects.
I'm not. Yeah, exactly. That's the next episode. People were comparing it to gay pornography. Now, again, what was the scenario that's... Okay, Mall Walker.
Alex Guerrero, what does it sound like when Sarge at home hears himself on the new Tom versus Time documentary? Thank you.
All right, by the way, we have our first sighting of Mall Walker.
So. Yeah, there they go. Yeah.
The pump.
Okay, all right. Thank you. We do have Mall Walker. We got to talk to him. John, you should walk with him.
John, just go up and see what's doing.
Just go walk with him. Just go walk with him. You know, maybe a nice little Cinnabon or something.
Yeah, we have our first Mall Walker sighting.
Yeah, so like everyone's been on from the station now, but Sarge, it's always just something innocuous. Stating a fact
doesn't matter.
But I don't understand like where he's getting like what the audio's from.
He did like an interview for BZ.
Do you want me to pull up the 85 million word text I got from him yesterday?
Not yesterday.
Friday.
He did not like us speculating that he had recorded something and sent it to the Patriots asking to be in the documentary.
Yeah, he said all further questions should be sent directly to him.
and I understand that's probably exactly what it was. He probably recorded something for BZ and put it online and somebody Googled it and found it and there you go. And it was used for it. But there was a moment that was very, very cool that, you're talking about humanizing him. Or actually, not even humanizing. It was more about just him being a maniac when it comes to trying to find every single edge that he can. There's a part where he's sitting at home and he's watching film. And he's got this little clicker that he moves back and forth. And it's kind of like they have in the film rooms. But he's got it attached to his computer. And he's sitting there glued in watching a bunch of film, including the 2008 Super Bowl, which is one that I'm sure that he does not enjoy revisiting. But here's a clip.
When you've been doing for something so long, you just don't see, like, tape. You see the depth of everything. Football's so visual. I'm reading body language. I'm reading, you know, movements. How do you know when the guy's going to blitz? You know, you kind of look at the shape of the defense. You know, a guy just may have a little tell, like a poker player, you know? It's like, oh, how do you know? Well, you just... I know you've been doing it for so long. You've seen so much. I watch tape all day Monday, all day Tuesday. You know, Wednesday we practice, Thursday we practice, Friday we practice. Then I come home and I watch film. And then Saturday before the game I watch film. And then Sunday morning I watch film. And the whole time I'm just trying to get tells. I don't know why I can sit here and watch it and, you know, process information quickly, but I can. Running and lifting has been much harder to develop than this. This has kind of been in me. I mean, I could literally, like, just watch film all day. It's almost like soothing because I've been doing it for so long. I can just go 4 or 5 hours without getting up from this chair.
Yeah, so they pop on the
table. No wonder Giselle wants to... I mean, in all seriousness, you know, you talked about Jay Feely and Giselle trying to get Jay Feely to convince him to retire.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were married to someone who is that driven in, like, literally constantly doing that stuff...
Yeah, you can take that away from him.
But that would be such a... But, I mean, as someone who is married to them, that would be a huge pain in the ass.
He is the only person that I can think that I know of that's as much of a maniac about watching film as he is John Gruden. And I think of him years later being one of those guys who's going to rent out a little spot, the FFCA, and sit there with just piles of videos.
You see, well, Tom Brady in a strip mall at some point?
Right.
Well, see, I mean, look at what Gruden's kid had to do to get him to look at him.
And to become a power lifter.
Pay attention to me, Dad.
Juice Gruden is like the largest human being on the planet.
It's true.
I did good, Dad. Look at me.
The pump. He likes the pump.
I can lift a car off the ground.
All right, and then there's a clip, and we can skip the memo one, but it was kind of funny because it's got him recording memos to Josh McDaniels, and he'll send the memos from what he's seen in these videos, and then there's a video of him driving in the car and McDaniels calling him and saying, I watched it and I thought the exact same thing, and they're talking like nerd talk over it, but I thought it was kind of fascinating. But the one of the other, like, tough losses from this year, you saw him in the first episode after that Kansas City loss, and, you know, Giselle's trying to make him feel better, and he's just having none of it, and he's pissed. So there's a scene from this one after the
Carolina
loss where he's in his car by himself. That's another weird thing that you just don't think about. Tom Brady
driving around.
Just driving around. You see him in game day traffic going to the stadium at one point, and then as he's leaving, he's in the car by himself. And I don't know who he's on the phone with here. It might be Josh McDaniels.
All right, let's take a break and get to that audio. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer. Brought to you by Plymouth Rock Assurance.
From the food court at Mall of America, Toucher and Rich, presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I don't think too much.
I was right in between what I was trying to do and what I've been doing.
And you know what taint is? You don't want to be taint. You either ass or but nothing in between.
Yeah, so I was right in between.
Okay, let's go on. Now you realize this is like nothing, but it's big to him.
So you're going to like this throw because I'm starting to get that feel right now.
I find it. Oh. And that should have felt awesome. You had some friggin' into there.
Yeah, it's perfect, bro. It's not perfect.
We're not leaving until you feel it.
Nope.
That combination of his expectation level, his capacity to meet those expectations is huge. That had touch.
Yeah, perfect.
You got that look on your face.
Oh, I just had a mild orgasm. We had a major f***ing breakthrough.
Okay, you can say it any way you like. He thinks it's a major breakthrough, but it's frog hairs.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. We are on Radio Row in the food court of Mall of America. Tonight, we will be out for at least some of the media day hijinks and things of that nature. You just heard from the second Brady Tom versus Time.
Can we just quickly, before we get it, can we just discuss what just happened? So we're obviously in a mall, and I don't know if this is going to be par for the course, but some guy who works at the Pepper Palace across from us,
which by the way, just opened at 6:20 in the morning.
I don't know if they're open or they're just doing a little promotion. But dude just walks by and just hands us a bottle of hot sauce and just goes, points at us like, "All right."
Well, it's like you came to the right place, my friend.
You like hot sauce? We got it.
Hot sauce.
Big game hot sauce. Yeah,
couldn't get the license to this Super Bowl.
Well, it's the big game. You know, everyone knows what the big game is.
Yep, it certainly is.
Mm-hmm, yeah, so this Tom versus Time, once again, it was very good. I'm looking forward to the next week's, or next week's, tomorrow's, comes out, because that's the bro episode. That's the one where he's with his boys. And I guess
on vacation? Or what are we talking
about?
Yeah,
it looked like there was a teaser where it's him and Amendola and Edelman. They go on a brocation, I think, together. And that's going to be worth watching.
Yes.
That one's going to, because whereas everything so far has humanized, in my opinion, most everything has humanized Tom Brady, that's going to be something that's going to make me just go once again, oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And like how Edelman won't let Amendola, like he'll keep physically blocking him.
I'm first.
Right, absolutely. Okay, so this was interesting. I want to do the McDaniels thing real quick since we have time for it. So Tom Brady's watching this tape. And he notices something, and this is kind of an insight into how this all goes down and their planning, and just how maniacal he is in studying film. This is he watches a tape and records a memo and sends it to Josh McDaniels.
Hey, on the '96 Cavalier, Roy, I was watching Cincy preseason after Gronk hits the end, he can go vertical like a Hoffa. Check out that play, Cincy preseason play 30.
It's also kind of cool to hear him not at a podium where every answer is calculated, measured to say absolutely nothing.
Right.
And maybe that's the reason that we're feeling that he's giving us so much when he may not be giving us a ton, because we get literally nothing at those press conferences.
No, so far you haven't gotten a lot from him. I mean, he just is basically about how hard he works.
Yeah, but, I mean, he also gets pissed, and then there's moments like this where when he's on his way home from the game, driving by himself, he's talking to somebody on the phone. This is after the loss to the Carolina Panthers, and says this.
You know, we're the Patriots. You know, let's just roll our helmets out there. And, you know, we're going to win. And, you know, we'll score and they'll quit. And, you know, don't worry, we'll win.
Yep, I know.
You know, a lot of times when I'm frustrated myself first. You have expectations. And when those expectations aren't met, you got to vent and frustrate. And fortunately, you can do it in your own car. You know, you're not going to do that in front of anyone else. But, you know, you don't want to hold that inside either.
So that's one angry man in his car. Apparently, you've had two scenes so far where he's just pissed driving in his car.
I just find it fascinating that he drives a car. I don't know why.
Right, that he doesn't have, like, you know, like Jeeves taking him around town.
In the back of a big black town car with tinted windows, yeah. And he's looking at tape while some guy drives him home. That kind of thing.
I thought you were kidding about mall walkers, but we're rocking another two.
No, there are a bunch of them now.
They're here.
Yeah.
They're here, and they're
spectacular.
Well, I mean, this is... This is a destination for mall walkers. Think about it. If you're going to walk a mall, I mean, this is
it. I wonder if people come from all over the world to walk the mall.
That's what I was going to say.
So what's the demo? We're thinking, like, is it women over 60?
There was a guy who just walked by.
There was an older guy. And then the first two were not old.
That wasn't a guy.
It wasn't?
That wasn't a guy.
Oh. All right, well.
Wow. All right.
I'll be dead.
Well, color me embarrassed.
No. But it's real. I mean, they are here, and we have seen a nice little army of them so far. Walking the old mall, strapping up the old shoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, that's the thing. They're all wearing the same type of shoes.
Yeah, nursing shoes.
Oh, without a doubt. But it is kind of funny because we've had all these like news stations come up and trying to ask us to do interviews because, you know, they see the Patriots logo. And also, we're like right by this barrier. So you can just walk by and just lean over and go, hey, how's it going? So we've been on TV a couple times. And aren't you doing a hit with the Minnesota people?
I think we all might be doing it. But the idea is... just to get Ragnar here.
Yeah, I want Ragnar. we are sending the bat signal out, the Viking signal.
Oh, please.
For Ragnar. That'd Ragnar, who, of course, is the once acclaimed and loved all over Minnesota mascot for the Vikings, and now, due to what was believed to be a dispute in pay, I think that at one point he was making $1,500 a game to ride out on his motorcycle and blow that giant like horn of Valhalla or whatever they call it. And then he one day said, according to reports, he said, I want $20,000 a game. And yeah. They went, nope. And then Ragnar walks off onto his own and wanders the earth and wonders what happens.
That's a problem.
There's an article. And you know what? Maybe next break we'll get into it. There's an article that Yahoo did where they found Ragnar and they talked to him. Ragnar not doing so hot. I want someone out there.
Ragnar
I want Ragnar to know that he, there's someone there for him. And those people are Toucher and Rich. And that we truly care for his well-being. And I want him here on the show. So Fred is going to speak to the people of the local news station and try to put out the signal for Ragnar so we could have him here with us.
Yes.
In his amazing fur skin or sheepskin, whatever the hell that thing is, the pelt that he wears.
Maybe you could talk to a mall walker while we're in break.
I don't think it's a bad idea. What should we do? Ask a mall walker?
Yeah, just
there you go. How long till the mall walker swears? What's in your purse, mall walker?
Yeah, can I look in your fanny pack?
How much does this mall walker have a Werther's?
That's the thing is that you look in the fanny pack and you see if they have a Werther's and like a bunched up Kleenex.
How long has it been since Johnny's called you? It's been a long time since your grandchild's called, hasn't it?
Yeah. Can I see how fast your heart's beating? That's tremendous.
I mean, that's not really appropriate here. We're talking about mall walkers.
After this, they are out in full force. I never was aware of their existence. I always thought it was just a...
You thought it was like a joke. No, this is real. And once again, it is not even 6:30 local time.
No.
And they're here. Rise and shine.
Oh, here I'll break. There goes two good ones over there.
Where?
Right over there.
Oh, okay. There is
so,
a man.
Okay, so you'll talk to them.
Okay.
All right. We will be back. Here are the headlines.
Live from Minneapolis on Radio Row. Toucher and Rich. Presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just talked to a guy on Minneapolis TV who had the worst breath I've ever experienced.
And then there is we talked to some mall walkers too. We will have that audio in just a few minutes. They are, as I said, they are real and they are spectacular. You said that right when he was standing next to us.
What, about his breath? He didn't hear you. I don't care. What do I care? No, it was just like, you know, off-putting.
Did you put the bat signal for Ragnar?
I spent about a good 2 minutes asking about Ragnar and how poorly he was treated by the Vikings.
We want Ragnar! Ragnar's the best. Ragnar got so screwed, or he screwed himself. Who knows? Who knows what to believe? That is right. Ragnar of the North, and now of the unemployed.
Yes, I spent a good two minutes talking of Ragnar, so hopefully he listens.
Well, somebody got a hold of him at Yahoo Sports, and I want to thank them because this is a guy who obviously needs a hug. This is from an article that came out yesterday. It goes, it's been a bittersweet because with the Super Bowl here this year, everyone's like, how's Ragnar feel about it? That's really the number one story anyone wants
to
know.
Is he bitter, or is he still holding allegiance to the team that meant so much to him?
It said, it's been a bittersweet past couple of football seasons for Joe, they used his real name, who was once as famous as a Vikings fan as one can get, other than maybe Prince. Ragnar was a symbol of the team, riding around the old Metrodome on his motorcycle and ginning up the purple pride of the hometown crowd. He did that for 21 years. And then there was a falling out over a pay issue in 2015, followed by a very unfortunate TV spot in which Ragnar put on a Packers-style cheese head.
Oh, Ragnar.
Uh-oh. You doth turn your back? No less than Randy Moss voices displeasure at the sight, although he said he sided with him in principle. Local fans and the media were not understanding. Quote, after the crap he pulled Sunday before the Vikings game, for the Vikings battle of Green Bay Packers for a division title, the former sideline staple is dead to us. So he said, Ragnar has been frozen out. So they talked to him, and he goes, I still watch the games. Is it something I have to do? No, Ragnar does not. I don't know that I have watched a full game in its entirety. It is difficult. It's difficult, bottom line. They literally destroyed the whole character. I've not been able to do anything with the character. I know how NFL players feel after they're no longer wanted. It's a tough pill to swallow.
They're basically the same thing. How they destroy their bodies and work their entire lives to become a professional football player. I mean, really, to grow a beard is a big commitment.
the way that their kneecaps don't work anymore.
Yeah, there's guys that can't get out of bed, and then there's Ragnar, who, not everyone can just grow a beard and yell.
I know how NFL players feel after they're no longer watching. It's a tough pill to swallow. One minute you're on the top of the world, everyone loves you. The next minute, you're an SOB. So in a statement to Yahoo Sports, the team said, the Vikings greatly appreciate Ragnar's contributions to the organization and to our fans over two decades. We will always consider him an important part of Vikings history. The Vikings have moved on. Ragnar had tried to do the same. I didn't think it would be so hard, he said. It will likely get harder.
Wait, you didn't think it was going to be so hard? Your life was legitimately revolving around being Ragnar. What, you didn't think it was going to be hard? I just, you know what? I'm super into being this character. It's my entire existence, and now what do I need?
It will likely get harder this week as the Super Bowl gets closer. Asked if he would be involved in the festivities if not for the falling out, Ragnar said, "Would I? Oh, heavens, yes." Something I'll never be able to do now, ever. When is there going to be another Super Bowl in Minnesota? Never. I'll miss out on that. And for what? Why? It was Ragnar's wife, Lori, who changed Vikings history.
Ragnar's wife.
Yeah. So it talks about how, like, she was the one who said you should try out at the Mall of America to be the mascot. And so Ragnar apparently showed up with a bunch of children. I guess he used to be security at some high school. They all cheered him on, and he won the gig, and he rode his motorcycle.
What loser in high school is going to go with the guy who's trying to become Ragnar?
That'd be kind of funny.
It would be funny,
like,
but
the maintenance man wants to be the mascot. I'll cheer him on.
No.
It's kind of funny.
See, in theory, but
old creepy Joe wants to dress him as a Viking.
Yeah,
around. Okay, I want to be there to see that.
Hey, kids, get in the van. Ragnar wants to go yell at the mall.
That's right. He won the gig and made it his own, riding his own motorcycle onto the field and revving it to a deafening roar. He was a mainstay as players moved in and out.
Check it out. Now Ragnar just has a moped.
I have a razor scooter. It's not quite as glamorous. I make the sound effects with my cheeks.
Now Ragnar just puts a baseball card in the spokes of his bicycle.
He was sort of a blend of a wild child, family-friendly. Quote, "I don't look like mainstream society," he says now. And then he goes, "Ragnar's love for the Vikings, blah, 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 blah." So he goes, "My wife took a picture of me on one knee when they lost on their way to the Super Bowl with the hands on my face. What just happened?" 1 minute you're going to Miami, and the next you're going home. So he goes, there was a time apparently where Jerry Glanville stole Ragnar's motorcycle and drove it around the Metrodome and actually hit like some journalist apparently. And then said he's been trying to kill one of those guys for years. So Ragnar freaked out because he thought he was going to get sued for everything because it was his motorcycle. So I guess he didn't end up getting sued. Glanville did, as a matter of fact. Okay.
Wait, Glanville stole his motorcycle like at a game?
Because Glanville, that's pretty funny. Glanville grabbed Ragnar's motorcycle after a win and just started riding it around. I guess he rammed into some.
You can see that. Glanville was nuts.
He was motorcycle guy, too, so it's even funnier that he crashed it. So he goes, "How'd the marriage end in divorce?" As always, there's two sides to that. Media accounts have that Ragnar asked for $20,000 a game after getting paid $1,500 after a contract that had expired. When he didn't get it, the Vikings dropped him. The team professed efforts to make it work. After the opening weekend of the 2015 season, Ragnar posted a Facebook photo of himself watching the Vikings from home. Quote, "This is not by my choice. I don't make those decisions. At this point, it was made for me." Ragnar said that there were not genuine efforts by the Vikings to make it work. He says he was called in late in July and was told the team wanted to get away from his character.
Oh, boy.
He balked out of confusion more than anything.
They didn't want to pay him $160,000 to ride a motorcycle.
You got what no other man in this world has, a beard and hairy arms.
By the way, cheerleaders get paid $50 a game.
I know.
And Ragnar wants to walk away with a six-figure salary for just cheering and having a beard?
They said I was holding out for $20,000, he said. They said they were negotiating with me since February. They called me July 28th and said we are going to get away from your character. My question was, what were we negotiating? On the one hand, he wanted to stay. On the other, this was his character, and he didn't want to just give it away. The Vikings declined to comment, and they said Ragnar regrets he did not retain a lawyer. Quote, "It's been how long, and not one call from the team. Not to anything. Is it disappointing? It is. It is not hard to get bitter. Yes, it is hard not to get bitter." As for the cheesehead bit, he said it was a gag authorized by Fox, and he went along with it. Sure, Ragnar. Fans certainly didn't take it that way. There was a change.org petition to reinstate Ragnar, and then it was changed after that to deport Ragnar to Baraboo, Wisconsin. So they said, it's not hard to be bitter. Acid eventually eats the vessel that owns it. That's a real line he used. When he asked
Ragnar has esophageal hernia.
It's actual acid eating this vessel and speaking to you right now. And it's painful.
Hiatal hernia. The acid is eating away in my esophagus.
It is painful. When asked if he watched the Vikings' miraculous playoff victory against New Orleans Saints, Ragnar via text message said, "Did I miss something?" Was there a miracle somewhere in Minneapolis? As a follow-up question yielded this reply, a true miracle would have been if the team came back to beat Philly like the Patriots did against Atlanta. Ooh, tisk tisk. Snap, Ragnar.
Yeah, well, that's Ragnar.
Mm-hmm. So,
not handling the divorce well.
We need to, like, buy him a cake or something. We got to cheer this poor guy up. He is on the edge of depression, and I can't let Ragnar be sad.
No.
You don't want him crying into his horn of Valhalla, driving that Razor scooter around making sound effects.
Well, listen, Ragnar, if you're listening, if you are curious about what's going on Radio Row, please, by all means, stop by this program. We'll have you on for an hour. And just let you
just get
steamed.
We'll be your therapist couch.
Absolutely. All right. We will talk to Boomer Esiason coming up at 8 o'clock. We are at the, the food court at the Mall of America, broadcasting in anticipation for the big Super Bowl.
Live from Minneapolis on Radio Row, Toucher and Rich, presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On 8.5, the Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich.
All I want to say is, sup, Tom Brady? How's it going?
Yeah, you can't talk about someone's kid. You can't do that.
Nope. Oh, well, all I know is that...
That's off limits. Yep. And I'm all for, we always support someone who, gets in trouble for something they say. But, I mean, if I was an individual and someone came after one of my kids, I would really... That's about the one thing.
Yep.
That's the one thing.
That might be it. And even as, like, a professional athlete, if somebody says something about you or something you've done, you choose to be a public figure, and that's something you're going to get criticized at, but you just don't mess with people's kids. Like, that's... You do that, and then it's done. And then you just don't dignify those people anymore. But what I will say is that one thing that is going to be filled with dignity is going to be Scott Zolak losing his mind on stage in about an hour now. Scott Zolak and Wiggy, from what I hear, are going to be at the big rally over at Patriot Place.
Like, how does Wiggins jam himself into these things?
Because he's an expatriate who's here. Because he's here, but he's in the media.
But he made like a catch.
No, he made like 9 catches in the snowball game.
Yeah,
that was the thing.
10 catches. He'll tell you.
I'm sorry.
Reason I know that so well is it's in his rap song, which I've heard 1,000 times.
Of course, and he made the last catch to set up that field goal by Vinatieri.
But Wiggins is in media, sort of, and he like. But it's like Scott Zolak is the voice of the Patriots.
Yeah.
There's Soucy has to be there even though no one cares. and then there's a ton of players that are around. Like Matt Chatham is around.
Well, Chatham's probably part of it too.
Matt Light is around.
No, but Chatham's not going to be up on stage waving a towel.
No, Wiggins, Reese, and Zolak. That's the three people that are up there.
Reese doesn't go up there.
Not Reese. I'm sorry. I get him so sick. All right.
No, Zolak throws Reese into the crowd. Right. And
my
he gets
bad.
Around like a beach ball.
My bad. Right. I got them confused. Reese and Soucy. I don't know how.
It's shocking.
I don't know how that possibly could happen.
Right.
But I did indeed.
By the way, what's up, Wiggy? Thanks for listening.
Well, listen, I guarantee
Wiggins is listening to the show.
He's listening right now.
He tweets it rich during the show.
I talked to somebody on the show, and they said that they've had to speak with him about listening to our show during the show because he'll put headphones on while they're talking and listen to us. And I'm like, it's every time I mention his name, within 2 minutes, I get a tweet that ends with hashtag Wiggs out, and it's got like some weird gif that doesn't make sense attached to it.
Why does Wiggins listen to our show?
Excellent question.
Because he wants to listen to good radio.
I mean, he's being paid to like perform elsewhere at the same time.
No, it's not like they're a topic of discussion on our show.
I know.
Well, it's not like we're battling with Wiggins.
I know. I like Wiggins a lot.
But he's the reason you broadcast that live if we can.
You have to. So
what did he say? Someone check out. Jimmy Stewart had very funny audio of Wiggins on Friday during Felger and Maz. And like he was getting the phrases wrong.
He gets phrases wrong all the time with us. That whole thing we did with 98 Mile is the greatest. Because he just... that was editing at its finest. He came in and just like the live Hardy clip where he's trying to freestyle, and he was the first 45 seconds, ooh, yeah. Yeah, ooh, yeah. And Hardy's like, are you going to start rapping at any point? Right. And then we started rapping. It was the actual lyrics to the song itself. So ooh. Do we have any of Wiggy from... That's right. Do we have any of Wiggy from the rally last year or the year before? By chance, ready to go.
From 98.5, the Sports Hub. Welcome to Play-by-Play Radio Voice. Bob Soucy and Scott Zola.
We are Zola.
Thank you, John.
What's up? My man, Scott Zola.
Wiggy, get off the mic.
Jerry Van Wiggins. Hey.
Thunderous applause. The crowd goes wild, right?
Get off the Seattle. Course.
I mean, it's like they toss it over to Zolak, and all you hear is Wiggy. And then Zolak comes up and tries to out-yell Wiggy. And then poor Sosie's like, all right, guys, we have a schedule we have to keep.
Yeah.
And I am going to present this in a proper fashion.
Zolak pulled me aside after the show on Thursday, or on Friday, and he goes, get ready to drink with me. And I'm like, okay, the chances of that happening, very slim.
None. Slim to none. Zolak has been very disciplined lately. Like, as far as his drinking and everything like that, there's not even, because there's one night that I know we're going out with a bunch of people, and Zolak probably will say no. He's probably not going to go.
Well, the crowd, it's well documented. He doesn't like to go out with a large amount of people. Remember?
We went out with him a couple years ago in Phoenix. It was a blast.
It was a great time, but the thing is, Zolak is, once you get beyond six or seven people, Zo's out. When it comes to dinner and that kind of stuff.
Why? How do you know that about him?
Because there was remember the big controversy about going out with Soucy that one time? It was at the Super Bowl last year. Or no, was it Denver? It was at a play on a road game. He went out with like eight people and they all had to order dinner. Then they all had to order dessert and the meal went too
That's
long.
That's just because Soucy was driving him crazy.
Well, no, but then he was so livid he had to take an Uber by himself home.
Yeah, because he didn't want to ride with Soucy.
I thought it was like, all right, you guys are taking too long to eat dinner problem.
No, I don't know. I'm speaking out of school because I don't really know. But okay. Zolak is not like that. Zolak is, as a matter of fact, the antithesis of that. He likes being in a big crowd. He likes being like in a huge group, especially people who know who he is. But I think that if he told you he's going to drink, then we have to keep him to his word.
Because he's got like 10,000 things he's got to do. Like, he...
Not on, like, a random night. I mean, we're going out, what, Thursday night? Is that we're
going
to go out?
Yeah, we're going out Thursday.
Yep. Okay. Well, then let's...
And I'm going out with John on Tuesday.
That's right. I'm going ice fishing.
Have fun
by myself.
Jeez, I can't think of something more thrilling than ice fishing.
I'm going...
Good for you, Rich. You couldn't go snowmobiling, so you decided to go ice fishing.
I want to go ice fishing. It's stupid. I don't know why, but apparently it all starts by going to this, like, amazing, like, towny bar in the middle of, like, Waconia.
You have to drink
there.
If you're going ice fishing.
Oh, you have to. That's part of it. I mean, yeah. it's like going to a nice restaurant and not having a drink. It's like that's part of the experience, is you sit there with, a can of beer, and you chug while you're sitting on that, and they have one of those like sheds where you go inside and they keep all the food so you can warm up every once in a while. But it's 2 hours of ice fishing and drinking, and they get you a nice base at a good towny bar beforehand. You get some burgers and you're all set.
All I'm saying is people go fishing because it's warm. You're on a boat in the middle of a lake.
No,
maybe
ice,
you have a cooler.
I understand ice fishing. Ice fishing
it.
Is that you go and you're in that thing and you drink beer.
Yep.
I mean, that's what you do.
And it's the one... It's the one day this week that we don't have any work obligations. And I just want to, I mean, we're going to be working constantly this week. I mean, we are getting audio and things like that. That's the one stupid thing that I want to do just away from everything. I want to go drink and sit on the ice. That's
all right.
I actually don't blame you for that one.
That sounds kind of fun.
Yeah.
And if it sucks, I'll know. Because I've always wanted to do it. And if it sucks, I'll then know.
Well,
and I'll never
if you're at a bar, dude, nothing sucks that bad. If you're at a bar, I mean, you can medicate yourself. All right. We talked to some mall walkers. We also talked to Boomer Esiason. We have not played that yet. We talked to him at, 4:30 local time. And he was very aggressive with me.
Yes, he was.
He was shaking me around. Him and Zolak, they want to shake me around. We had that. I want to hear this really quickly, though. Scott, go ahead.
Just some food, Fred.
Thank you, sir.
For somebody who, you know, claims to have an intimate, you know, knowledge of, you know, television programs, I can't believe you don't remember that when the Sopranos were getting their whack Carmine Lupertazzi, that Christopher said he went mall walking from 12 to 1 in some mall somewhere. And remember when he told those you know, those two black guys, they go whack them and then, you know, change their minds and then killed them all and stole all their money.
Okay, so this was, there was an episode of The Sopranos where he was monologuing.
Yeah, Carmine Lupertazzi, yeah, the whatever. I can't remember what family he was the head of, but yeah, they said he went mall walking from 12 to 1, and that that's where we're going to whack him.
All right, well, there's certainly people walking this mall, and it's a destination.